So we're doing Gemara Agata. Beitzach of the Emeves. Okay? Very strange Agata. Okay? And it's basically, it starts six lines from the top of Chafei Emeves. And it talks about how, the basic idea is how, I guess how people could learn lessons from certain plants and trees. And if they don't, then Liyom HaDen, they're going to pay for it. Okay? It's the basic theme of what's going on here. Okay, so the Gemara says like this. Three cases. So the first thing it says, Chatsuva, which they say means ivy, but we'll see, Rashi will explain. Mikateo Gorgland Rishaya. So it cuts off the legs of Rishan. Rashi. He says, Esav, it's a grass. Shesha Rasha Nokvin Viyordim Beomek. The roots goes straight down. It calls it goes down deep. In mispashe the southern claw. The ordinarily trees they spread out. They don't go on the sides at all. Straight down. The notim also being gavule sadas. They planted as like boundary markers. Ubo tiaches Yeshua Yisrael Saras. And that's how Yeshua gave out the land of Israel. And he set out the shvatim and all. This is a very good boundary marker. He says, "What? So what about it? So that's what Chatzuva is. So what about it? So this is Mikatea Ragle Harashoim Liyom Haden. Cuts off the legs of Rishoim Liyom Haden. She Gozlim Vechomsim Muasigim Gvol. As they steal and whatever other type of stealing, and they are Masig Gvol. They take other people's borders. They don't learn the lesson from this Chatzuva, this ivy, which doesn't take." And take over anyone else's borders. But it surely, like holds its own. So the fact that they didn't learn from this ivy, Liyom HaDen, their legs are going to be cut off. Whatever that means. Okay? Somehow it sounds like it's bad. Sounds like it's bad for them. Okay? Fine. Let's just get some shot first. Okay? Then the next case is the second case. It says, Nitiya, the plant, whatever that means, Mekatera Glenda Katsvaya, with the Bali Nidos. Cuts off the legs of butchers and of Bali Nidos. Rashi. So it says, Nitiyas Arla. It's talking about a plant of Arla. She'amra Torah lahamtim shalosh shonet milach alperos. So the Torah says you have to wait 3 years to eat the fruits. Mekatea ragle hakatsavim. Hamimarim lechol kodim heshet benituach. Upam shenam sestrefa. Cut off the legs of butchers who rush to eat the meat before they skin it and cut up the meat. And because of their rush, there'll be at times they find that it's a treifa. Turns out they ate a treifa. So they can't get it right. V'chein d'bolanidos, shemarim. V'en yichom hatim, ashtivah, sin d'bolanidos. That they rush. They can't wait until she goes in the mikvah. So saying these people, their legs are going to be cut off by the plant of Arla, because they don't learn their lesson from the plant of Arla, which you have to wait 3 years for. Okay? It's fine. Second case. And the third case is Tormusa, which is a lupin bean, is it?
Lumine? What was it?
Lumine.
Lupine bean? Okay. Mekatera Gondisan Anshel Yisrael. Okay. That's a euphemism, I think. Yeah, I think it means for Yisrael, right? As it means cuts off the legs of Yisrael. Shanem, Arabe Yosifu ben Yisrael, Lassus Harabe ne Hashem. Vayavdu as a Bolin, as a Astros, as a Loke Aram, as a Loke Tzidon. Eselohei Moab, Eselohei B'nei Amon, Eselohei Plishtim, Ayazu Es Hashem, Elo Avdu. So it says that they continued to do as bad in God's eyes, and they served all these seven idols, and they left God, and they didn't serve Him. So it's Mimashba Shneur, Yazu Es Hashem, if it says they left God, any of their Shalom Avdu, of course they didn't serve Him. They left Him. And they did all these other idols, I mean that they didn't serve Him. Umatam Elomar Velo Avdu, who? What does it mean they didn't serve him? Amar of Elazar, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Afilu ketormos hazeh, she'es sholken oso shev upon v'ochul oso be'kinuach su'udah lo asuri ba'ai. It says, my children, God saying that Kali Yisrael didn't even make God like this tormos bean. Okay, because this tormos bean is a bitter, very bitter. Hey, let's see Rashi. Okay, so tormos. So he says, Midkitness ugly, it's around the bean, kumin adash, it's like a lentil. Urachav, kimak tana, and it's like wide, like, was it like a coin? Umar me'od, it's very bitter. Acha shokin also sheva pamin. until you cook it seven times. V'nasa matak. V'tov. And they become very sweet, very good. Atshe yochal l'matam, and you can also eat them for dessert. So they went from this thing, which is very, very, very bitter, and you have to cook it seven times, and finally it becomes not only not bitter, but it becomes actually a dessert, a treat. It says, Mekadeh ragu d'samei she yisrael, l'chsivi shiva avod dessert v'haikra, it says seven avod dessert, l'sofa yad l'shem. A Torah says, l'acha shetriach esbal l'shem pam, this Torah has been after it bothers its master seven times, who chodz el mutik, then it becomes good. The aim at shichos baron l'havi elayim pronas, v'lach iso v'shivas eila. So, but the Kali Yisrael angered God and bothered him to bring on Puranas seven times. And they didn't retract. They didn't do like the Tormas did. It's like a complaint. You get angered me like seven times. Kibishal Tormas. After he calls us, lo nechshavti v'neichem. And even after all that, I was still not considered in your eyes. You still didn't come back to me. So that's the saying, is that God is saying that they didn't learn. Apparently that's part of their Yom HaDin, that got them, is their legs were cut off, because they didn't learn the lesson from the Tormas. Tormas, at least after those seven times, finally got it straight. But you guys, the Yisrael, didn't even do that. So it's saying that's bad. That was apparently that furthered them. Okay, so that's basically three, that's the end of the Gemara. So one question, Moshe says, is that it's one thing, you say the case one and case three, saying you should learn from nature. So it says, you're not keeping halacha, so fine, so you're not keeping halacha, but at least learn from nature or something like that. But in case two, it's not saying learn from nature, it's saying learn from the halacha of Arla. But you're not keeping halacha. I mean, say learn from the halacha of Nida itself, or learn from the halacha of Treifos itself. So you have to give me another halacha to learn from. You're not keeping the halacha. So you're not going to learn from this halacha, you're not going from that halacha. I mean, the whole thing is, or go backwards. We'll go from these to Arla. I mean, it doesn't seem to make, it seems to be that you have to make reference to an outside sphere, not just a different mitzvah. I mean, the thing is that you don't care about the mitzvahs, apparently. So how's Arla going to help you? Right? Okay, also, what does it mean cut off their legs? So what does that mean? That has to be explained. What does it mean cut off their legs? Here's the main question. I mean, the main problem in the Chazal is that this whole thing doesn't make sense, really. Because it doesn't make sense to learn from grass. See, because it's not like, let's say I take the case of this, the robbers, the thieves. So the guy who's a thief has a difficulty that he can't control his taiva of stealing. And with his tzachachma. I don't know, it's a problem in Bechira. He has Bechira, and he's overcome by some emotion. Okay? So what's he going to say? Well, if the grass could do it, then you could do it. Yeah, but the grass has no shaychas to Adam. I mean, the grass, it's only if you want to learn physical properties from grass, because the grass is a physical thing, and you're a physical thing. But here you're trying to learn a midah tova, or to break a midah ra, because you see the grass could do it, but the grass has absolutely no shaychas to an Adam and to the man's battles with his yitzhar. So the fact that the grass, it's just the way the grass is. And you have other grass which grows wildly. I mean, so you're going to say, therefore you say I should be wild? I mean, that's just not shaykh altogether. How do you learn? Friends, if you were an advisor for someone, let's say for the president or something like that, and you said, listen, I have a great way to you to learn lessons. I want you to just take a study nature, study grass, and you should learn all the lessons from all the grass. You know, how should you go to battle in Iraq? I think you should consider what grass does. You know, or whatever. I mean, you think it's laughable. I mean, that's not a real way to learn lessons. You know, I can learn lessons from a tzaddik, who is involved in perfection, and from the avos, who control, you know, who lived perfected lives. Because they're a model. That's a role model. You can't have grass as a role model, because it's just not shaykh altogether. So there's nothing in common between the grass is not stealing and a person's not stealing. It's a superficial thing. So that's, I mean, it sounds cute and all, and you know, it makes for a nice drasha or whatever, but it doesn't seem to really make sense. I mean, I can't imagine someone growing through this process of thinking about grass or learning an idea, or just seems like a funny. And he says, and it's always funny. It's like. Like, as if it's not enough, these guys are robbers, or thieves, or avodah zarah, or bolei nidos, but the Yom HaDin, what really clinches it for them is that they don't learn from the grass. I mean, like you don't have enough wrong for them. What cuts off their legs if they don't learn from the grass? I mean, it sounds like, They're Rishayim. They didn't consider about what lessons they can learn from the grass. I mean, it sounds far-fetched. It doesn't sound like a real kind of a thing. There seems better ways in perfecting yourself than looking around at nature. It doesn't seem shaykh. I mean, I never heard anyone say learn biology because you'll learn perfection from it. Learn biology. See, Chokhmas Hashem. Learn biology to see to learn perfection of your midos. There are other chazals like this, like you learn tznius from a cat or something like that. People quite, I don't know if I'm familiar with these, but as people are talking to some people, they said, yeah, you have a lot of chazals like this. But then it doesn't solve the problem. I mean, they have the same problem by those chazals. I mean, they're equally difficult. I mean, it's true. I'm not denying that this is a theme in chazal. But that doesn't make sense. I mean, it's just, so it has to be explained. It has to be explained by them also. Wherever you see it has to be explained. They're saying rationally it doesn't make sense. There has to be an explanation for it. Like, what better way to learn from is the Torah, which says those things all, and talks about the Avodah Zarah all over the place. They need their grass to remind them they shouldn't be over the Avodah Zarah, I mean. Or they need a bean to remind them. I mean, it sounds like a very, it's a good mashal, and it's cute and all that, but is that really, I mean, in a realistic kind of a way, is that where you're supposed to be drawing your lessons? I mean, it just doesn't seem... It sounds like a very like a symbolic kind of a thing, you know. Like I said, it's not a method of perfection and of chachma. I mean, it seems like a cutesy kind of a thing. People like this type of stuff, you know. But it doesn't seem if you really, you know, you put it to the test of rational analysis, it doesn't seem to hold up. Like imagine you're trying to reprimand your child. You know, you're trying to show them how they should be a better person, or they did something wrong. How could you do this? You made us so upset. You made your parents so upset, and whatever. You should have just learned the lesson from the hyena, or something. I don't know, or whatever, or from some grass, or some. You say, but what are you talking about? The grass. Of course, the grass. I mean, any kid would know right away. The grass has no choice about it. It's not, you know, the grass has nothing to do with it. It's no shaychas. I mean, it's not. It's not the way you give mussar. It's not the way you say that's ultimately the reason why we're really punishing groundling you is because you didn't learn from the grass. You say it's not. You're missing the point. I mean, the parent, you know, the kid would laugh at him. Yeah, I mean, if you really want to look at the grass, I'll say your average tree doesn't do this. Your average tree grows out and does infringe on everyone else's things. So I'll say I'll be a goslin because I learned from the trees. I mean, you see, obviously, you can't just start doing these things. So what you're really learning is you're learning from your mind, which tells you don't steal. Not from this grass, because how are you going to choose which grass to learn from anyways? You can't really learn lessons like that. So you're going to start doing that. You'll start doing all kinds of crazy things. You'll start ripping out, killing people, because all the animals rip each other apart. So I mean, you just can't start learning from it. So ultimately, what's going to be your guide and what you're going to learn from is your mind. So then you don't need this grass. You just say you have your mind. So another side question is, it seems like, it does seem to be incongruous. The second case seems to be different from the first and third case. I mean, we kind of mentioned that, but again, it just sounds like they should be the same. Three things are the same thing. Like, why is it? Well, two things you learn from plants, and one you learn from the mitzvah. Again, it just seems like to be a different topic almost. You know what I mean? Like that should be nice if you explain some sort of unification in those cases. You know, besides the intrinsic problem in the second case, but it just seems like they're different. Okay, so I want to say it's like this: is I think it's based upon a psychological thing, okay? But let's just introduce it, I guess. So you have in man, there are certain types of, might say, chotem, certain personas, certain human weaknesses that people could partake of, okay? And the weaknesses, they're like a certain trends in personalities, okay? Like, for instance, the first one, okay? But the first one, let's take the first one. The first one is a guy who basically is like a very self-centered guy, and he can't control himself insofar as taking other people's stuff. Okay, insofar as he has needs of stuff, and he can't recognize other people's needs. Very like self-centered guy, right? See, but what's interesting is that when you have a guy who's like that, he doesn't just say, "I have a weakness. I can't control myself." But there's a certain, because it's a major, it's a weakness, it's a major weakness. Now, how does a person deal with that? How does a person deal with his weakness? So what a person does, often you'll find, is a guy will rationalize it. How will he rationalize it? He'll make it almost into like a philosophy. Like, what do you want me to do? I have to support my own family. I can't worry about every single person in the world. Like, it's not my business. They have to worry about themselves. I'll worry about myself. You know, I gotta watch my back. You know, he makes it like, it's not possible for me to be concerned about everyone in the world and also to support myself. It's just like, how could I do such a thing? He doesn't just say, I have a weakness, but he rationalizes it by making up like a philosophy. It makes it into almost a philosophy. Like, it's not possible. That's how I do it. So now, he's not bad. He's just, it's philosophically, this is the way it is. Right? Okay. And that's, again, because he has a major conflict in him, so that's the way he has to deal with it. Okay? Similarly, you'll find, let's say, the second guy. The second guy is like the Boli Nidos, or the Kadzvaya. Which is basically, it's a guy who is, he can't control himself. And he needs instant gratification. Okay? Now, you'll find a guy like that, again, how does he rationalize it? He doesn't make it say, I just can't control myself. He makes it like again, he has a certain philosophy. What are you doing? Are you supposed to just sit around and wait? And wait all day long? I just can't, it's not possible. How's the guy supposed to wait? I just wait till Mashiach comes? I mean, I can't wait. Like, I gotta act now, you know? You can make it almost as if, like, you know, something comes, I want to do it, I got to do it. How's a person supposed to control himself about it, you know? So again, the person doesn't just say, I have a weakness, but they rationalize it by putting forth a shita. Okay? Similarly, the third guy. It's a certain guy, sometimes you'll find the person who is corrupt, and he's corrupt. And there are many things, which events, which take place, which cause him to realize that this is corrupt. It's crazy, you know. If he fails, or whatever, you know, and he realizes that he's doing something bad, he's doing something wrong. Yet you'll see sometimes the guy won't give it up. Certain difficulties, it takes certain strength to be able to make a change in the person. And sometimes there's a certain weakness to the guy who can't make that move. Okay, even though he knows he's dead wrong, but he can't make the move. So again, such a guy, there's a kasha on it. I mean, that's a problem. So he doesn't say, I'm weak. He says, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to just change my whole life? I mean, this is the way I am. It's not possible. You can't just get up and pretend I'm a different person to all of a sudden, poof, like that. And it becomes like, it's not possible. You can't just become a different person. Right? And again, he doesn't say, I am weak, but the way a person does it is that he takes his weaknesses and makes them into like laws in the universe, okay, which can't be broken. It's not possible to do. Okay. So when you have such guys, again, you have a person. These people are in an area of a weakness, and in order to defend themselves in this conflict they have, they set up a counter philosophy which protects them against their weakness. Okay, they don't face it. Okay, now the thing is like this: is that man's psychology is interesting. Interesting is that psychologically things which are not alike are associated. Okay, and so like the unconscious goes by crazy associations. Right? Things which are not really associated to one another, but end up bringing to mind in man because other things which they're not rationally related to. But the unconscious it's not a rational thing, it's associations. Like you see, for instance, there's in poetry or in literature, there's a personification is a method in it, right? And which means like I say, the weeping willow. A willow doesn't weep, it doesn't make any sense. Weeping is something man does, not trees do. But somehow the tree does bring to man's mind the emotion of crying, okay, the process of crying, something about it, and man calls it the weeping willow. You know, it's all over. I mean, poetry is always based upon, you know, like projecting human characteristics onto all these things. Well, how do you do that? Because a man's mind is such that they remind him. The tree reminds him of himself when he's crying. So, I mean, that's just the way. Is it really akin to it? Has nothing to do with it. But that's the way human nature is that things which are psychological, things which are associated to one another bring that other thing to mind. Especially if a guy's sad, then he's going to think that the trees are crying. You know, you're just not a happy guy, you're not going to think it's crying. But there's when certain emotions which are a person is involved in, those emotions are alerted. Like, for instance, let's say you have a guy who is a certain complex, self-conscious about it. Let's say he's fat. You know, he's heavy, something like that. So you'll find the guy is very sensitive about that. Someone may make a comment which really has nothing to do with that. But he can say, whoa, you think I'm fat? You know, like, certain kind of, or he may say a word, you know, something which really had nothing to do with it. But again, since the guy has a lot of emotions in the area, things which he'll read into things, or things will bring to mind his weaknesses, whatever, even though they're not really, truly have anything to do with it. But that's just, again, that's when a person has an area which is strongly invested with emotional energy, many things become associated to that, even though they're not really rationally related to it. But that's just the way psychology is. That's the way the unconscious works. Okay? Like Chazal says, they call it posel mimuma posel. Anyone, if you have something which someone annoys you, say, oh, that guy just drives me crazy. He says, usually it's because the guy is from your mum. Something that you have that bothers you, you feel is a weakness in yourself, which you try to deny that weakness. When you see it in someone else, it reminds you of your own weakness, and therefore that's really you don't like as yourself, but you just project it onto him and it separates yourself from him. So it was again, it was what things which arouse you psychologically, when you have an area where you have conflict, you're more likely to have things that remind you of it. And again, it's an area where your emotional energy is drawn. So that being the case, it says like this, is if you have, take the first guy, the guy who is a robber, but he makes it into a thing like that. What am I supposed to do? I can't control, I can't worry about it. Everyone else in the entire universe. It's not possible. That's such a thing. He makes it into a shita. Okay. Now the thing is when he sees there's this plant, which all plants really are like this guy. Plants and the things in the world do spread themselves out, and in general, like they take up other, you know, they take their space. But he sees this plant which completely goes straight down. It's striking. I mean, it's a striking thing altogether for anyone to see. It's striking. But a normal person sees it, he says, well, that's an interesting biological phenomenon, you know. Or whatever they call plants, botanical phenomenon. But this guy is bound for this to remind him of his nature, of his philosophy, and this is a direct contradiction to his philosophy. Because his philosophy is that you can't possibly live without infringing on anyone or everyone else's stuff. But this plant does. Now you'll say rationally that has nothing to do with it because it's a human being who has a type of gazela can't do it. But this ivy's nature is to do it. So. Rationally, there really is no comparison, but that doesn't stop the fact that emotionally, psychologically, this thing is gonna since he has energy in the area, it's gonna remind him of that weakness. And again, an average person wouldn't remind him of that. An average person doesn't think like that. It's not a major area in his life, so you think IV just looks at his biology, of a type of botany. But for him, since this is his area, and he's in conflict in this area, so that's gonna bring to mind his conflict. Now the question is, now that it's going to bring it to mind, say, wait, really, it is possible for me to control myself, and just because I want to satisfy myself doesn't mean I have to infringe on everyone else. So it's going to take that, it's going to remind him of it. Now the question is, now he's thrown into a situation where he has to think it through. Okay? He has to think it through. Now he's not, now his thought process, he forgets about plants. Of course, he's not going to say, now I should be like the plant. That's not the way it works. It's now, the conflict has been brought to the surface. Now he has to think it through, and if he then chooses to ignore it, then what he's doing is he's rationally, he's bechira, rationally deciding away his weakness. You know what I mean? In other words, the weakness has presented itself to him, and he has decided to ignore it. See, then he becomes further steeped in his corruption. See, because originally, you may not have thought over the issue. You know, sometimes you get involved in an emotional thing, and, you know, the underlying nature is still attached to the reality, but you get carried away. But here, that underlying nature, which is related to the reality, and the mind presents to you the conflict, and then, if you decide it away, you have to further deny that part of you, which is telling you that really it is possible to control yourself. So then, you become that much more, you're more ingrained. The chet, your soul is further steeped in the chet. Okay, and liom adin, it means it's going to harm you. It means it's going to harm you because it means your foothold. It could be your foothold is like your underlying sense of reality has now been compromised because it expressed itself, but you denied it. Okay, but you denied it, and therefore it's not like you can't just say, look, the plants are crazy, I have nothing to do with plants, and therefore forget it. If you do that, you're going to be taking an opportunity. It's not like you're just missing your opportunity. You're actually harming yourself. Because now that part of you which is telling you, which under in your deep, deep in your nature was telling you that this is wrong, has now come to the floor and you've dismissed it. So that's you've cut off your chances, you know. Similarly, take the guy who's the Baal Nida and the Katzvaya, the butchers, you know. So again, their thing is they make a shita that I can't control myself. I'm supposed to wait. Like, how am I supposed to wait? Now the thing is like this: is that see Arla, the definition of the mitzvah of Arla is that you have to wait 3 years. That's what the mitzvah is. Okay, the mitzvah of Nida isn't to wait until she goes in the mikvah. The mitzvah of Nida is that it's also to have bia with a Nida. The mitzvah of treifa is you're not allowed to eat an animal which is a treifa. Now it's true that they in fact may involve waiting. That's true. But that's not the mitzvah doesn't say you have to wait. See, the mitzvah is God said, here's a mitzvah which says wait 3 years. So, what? Yeah, exactly. You don't necessarily have to wait. If you happen to want to have beer and she's not neither, So, no, you marry her, she's not neither. It's fine. So, it's not the nature of the mitzvah. Of course, things involve waiting. A lot of things involve waiting. But here, the mitzvah, that is the mitzvah. So, he's making a philosophy. I can't wait. It's not possible. I'm supposed to wait. And here's a mitzvah. The mitzvah itself says, wait. God says, wait 3 years for your plan. That has to bring to mind his underlying conflict, which he basically holds he can't wait. And here you see that he could wait. So again, then he's going to think it over. And if he decides to ignore that particular problem, then he's further steeping himself in the chayim. Similarly, the last one is the guy who says, "And I can't change. What am I supposed to do? Just change my whole life? It's not possible." But he says, you see that this being, this really, at first, caters to his sense that he can't change. Because you see, most things are bitter, you cook them and they still get sweet. But he says, no, the master tries to get it, still is bitter, still bitter, still bitter, you know. So he thinks, oh, this is like me, see, he can't change. But then, it does come around. And that again, that's going to strike him. It's a striking thing to anyone. I mean, it's a funny thing. But it's striking, and that's going to have to bring to mind this thing that it's not true. I mean, just because you're stuck in one way doesn't mean that you can't, with enough recognition of the weakness, you should come around to it. And the fact that the guy, when he sees this being, if he doesn't then think about the lesson from there, doesn't then think it over and realize that he could change, then again, he's going to further steep himself in this way. I mean, so what Chazal are doing here is, I think these are just three examples. I mean, you have a million examples. But what they're doing is they're showing you a method in perfection, a method in improving yourself, which is that because it's because of the nature of man's psyche. See, if man were purely like a thinker, a rational, you know, like if you didn't have psychology, this wouldn't work. Because rationally, you're right. Rationally, this isn't, if you're trying to learn Midos rationally, this isn't the way to do it. But it's saying since man's psychological nature is such that he associates things which aren't rationally related, so therefore many things which he'll encounter in life will associatively bring up his weaknesses. And at that point, he thereby is thrown into a situation, could be thrown into a situation of bechira, which if he doesn't then act properly, he's actually going to harm himself. Okay, he's actually going to further corrupt himself. Now, a person, though, could be prone to just, again, especially a person who's committed to rationality, he'll say, yeah, you'll have that emotional association. He'll say, yeah, it's crazy. You know, it's very easy to dismiss that kind of thing because, yeah, it's like you're used to thinking rationally, you realize it doesn't make any sense. But the point is that you have to use these associations, not for their own sake, but to then to bring to mind that you have to think over the issue altogether. But you wouldn't necessarily think it over unless you had something which would just remind you of that conflict. You know what I mean? Now, just one other point, just in terms of the cutting off your legs, you know, that thing. So again, the pshat I was saying is that because it means that your foothold. Your foothold means your standing, your underlying part of you, which is attached to reality, is now being broken or being compromised. It's totally broken. But once you make a decision about something, then you're further, denying your chances of ever being able to, you know, because like it's like so to speak, like any time it'll come up in the future. Yeah, I already thought about that. I already dismissed that. You know what I mean? So that's one idea. But another idea, he wants to say maybe a different idea, which is related, is that let's say a person is a chote, but sometimes in terms of when God is a person, there could be a certain midas rachamim, because the guy, like, so to speak, it's not his fault. I don't mean it's not his fault, but I mean sometimes you get caught up in something, you know, and you didn't get a chance. You didn't get a chance to really analyze something, because you just get pulled in by a certain emotional trap. Now, and this says, even though, look, a guy is responsible to break those things, but still, it could be there's a midas rachamim that b'din, he could have his chas, because he didn't he didn't get to think about it. But once the guy has the opportunity and rejects it and turns away from it, so then he no longer has that chas, because now he really is decided against it. So it could be that's a different idea on what his foothold is. So it's not necessarily his foothold in terms of his attachment to the truth. Maybe no, he's just as much imperfect as beforehand. But in din, there could be as a foothold, because it's like as a chus. Like he could always say, yeah, but I didn't know it. That's just me, the sort of the way Midas Rachamim would work, is that even though he's maybe just as imperfected, but if he didn't have the chance, so then God could be Merachim on it. So, but now that he had this opportunity, then he turned it away, so then it could be that will cause him to have a less favorable thing. The difference between the two explanations of cutting off your legs is, why is it that, let's say you didn't encounter this plant, so then your din apparently would have been better. You would have had a foothold. So why would your din have been better if you never encountered the plant? So according to the first way I'm saying is because if you didn't encounter the plant, then you still would have had a certain foothold attached to the reality. You still would have been attached to the reality to a degree. And it's only when that reality comes to the forefront and you actively throw it down that you become further entrenched. Your personality becomes further steeped in the chay. Okay. The second way of saying it is, it's not because your personality. Now, your personality could have been just as corrupt before and after you saw this plant. But beforehand, liyom hadin, you could have had an excuse, so to speak. I didn't realize. Doesn't mean that your personality, you're perfected because you didn't realize, but there's some excuse, and God be merachim on you, because it's true. There's a certain degree you didn't realize. But once you had the opportunity and turned it away, then you lose your schas. You know, you lose that taina. So what is that foothold based upon the commitment of the personality to the MS, or is it based upon just the midas rachamim? I mean, two different frameworks. I think they can both be true. I don't know if they're mutually exclusive, but I'm not sure. I definitely thought referring to both of them, you know. But I don't know. I mean, they're both good. I think you could probably explain, again, I haven't seen the Chazals about, like, when it's nis from a cat or those kinds of things. You probably explain in a similar manner, that certain, like, animals or whatever could bring to mind certain midos or certain conflicts or certain, you know, and then that could serve to bring to your mind and allow you to investigate an area. Sometimes you need, something which will jog your, bring your attention to something. So that's the saying, there are different things in the world, which is just the way the world is, and the way psychology is, that different things could bring your attention to something because of emotional and unconscious associations, even though rationally they don't hold up. But the rationality picks up after the association. The rationality isn't to pursue that association. It's to use the association and then pick up on it and then follow its own rational tracks. See, that's why it's not a problem, the fact that they're three different examples. Because the point is, it's just based upon psychological association. So it doesn't matter. The association can be to anything. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's to a plant or if it's to a mitzvah of our Lord. So it's just things which bring to mind the conflict. So specifically, it doesn't matter what it's to. It's anything which is going to bring it to mind. So that's right? That's why it doesn't have to be the same.